All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer. Lord, I thank you for being here in our midst. I thank you for all that you're doing and all the wonderful things you have in your heart for us to do. Help us to go forward in you in Jesus' mighty name as we commune with you. Amen.
Amen.
You know, communion is very important. Today we'll be in Acts chapter 12. We'll skip a few chapters. It wasn't hard to see the hatred against the church from the religious leaders. And now the king is, the enemy is using Herod to work against the people of God. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John. You know, it was Peter, James, and John. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So this is around the Passover. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, it's like he went to another gear. He wanted to kill some more. And this is how the enemy works. He uses what people fear against them to do his will. And the Lord taught me once that he enters our life through three avenues, or three roads: our weaknesses, hurts, and fears. Either one of them can give Satan an advantage in your life. Whatever your weakness is, whatever has hurt you, that's why people hurt people. Because from that hurt, it throws people off track. They don't see the things the same anymore. They're trying to protect themselves, and then fear arises. And the same thing with weakness. And remember, fear is it's an evil trust. It's the faith in God, believing God, is how we activate our life. That's how we activate the things of God in our life. Well, fear does the same thing with Satan. Through fear, Satan can operate legally, because you feared something and you acted on it, and now he's involved. And until fear is driven out of your life, it attaches Satan to your life, just like faith attaches God to our life. And with he looked at the people and saw that it pleased the people, and he proceeded further to take Peter also. And this is Acts chapter 12, verse 3. And he did this around the time of the Passover. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him with four quaternions of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And this is what I wanted to get, where we wanted to get to. When people commune with the Lord, when they seek the Lord, they were praying for Peter. And our prayers avail so much. That put a stop to all the evil plans of Satan. They were praying for Peter. And the same thing happens in the spirit when we go before the Lord and pray. When we earnestly pray and earnestly give thanks to the Lord, and we seek in his face. And when he gives us something to do and we do it, and we're charging the everything, that the charge of God, we're responding in faith and prayer. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, prophecy is given to some prophecies are to let us know the direction we're going in. The Lord's going to, just like with Jonah, God sent Jonah to Nineveh. And Jonah's message was that God is going to destroy this place. Now, they knew that they were sinners. But the direction that they were going in, God had to judge it. And this was going to happen immediately. This wasn't going to take years and months. This was going to happen that day, because Mary pointed out, I never caught it, but Mary pointed out that after Jonah was brought to land, he went a three-day's journey in one day. The Lord transported him so that he could preach, he knew that the people might repent, so that they did, and then he didn't have to bring the judgment.
And he probably turned around too.
Yeah, he got him there just in time to turn around.
He made sure the timing was perfect on that one.
Now, when every prophecy that comes about, some prophecies show us what will happen if we obey God, mm-hmm. and most prophecies don't happen. a lot of them don't. If people follow, they're contingent on what people do. Will they follow God? Will they earnestly pray and commune with the Lord? Or will they go in this track that they're going? And even Revelation, the things that's written, if everybody repent, it won't happen. It won't be a need for it. For all the things of Revelation to happen, there has to be a need for it to happen. And this is to show the world where they're going. And they're going to go that way. The wicked will do wickedly, so it will happen. But the Lord is giving people a chance to opt out of it. Otherwise, that's what's going to happen. The beast, the false prophet, the mark, all of it is going to happen. Because Daniel said the wicked will do wickedly, but those that do know their God, they will do exploits. They will never surrender, and they'll do what they should do. And it has to be that way, because prophecy is not written in stone. It's to show us what will be. It's an accurate portrayal of what we're causing. And then on the good end, the Lord show us what we can do if we follow Him. Almost every word that I had to write, the pastors I wrote, it was contingent on whether they obeyed God and followed Him, or whether they followed another path. And I would show them the two options, you know, what would happen. And I did it at God's will. So prophecy itself is not written in stone. It's people, they make decisions that cause it, good or bad. So now Peter's in jail. They knew that Herod was serious, because he killed James. Now he's got Peter. And they knew they needed Peter. And verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So they were praying around the clock. they must have had shifts. They were praying. They meant that this was not going to happen. And they didn't know how effective they really were.
I like what you said. Mm-hmm. They were saying, this is not going to happen.
That's right.
Not to Peter.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't say it one time in faith, did they? Mm-hmm. We can be very, very much in a ditch if we're not careful with all the scriptures we think of as a word of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
They were led by God. They kept praying.
Yeah.
I didn't say, whatever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive, ask it one time and you got it. So it's just being led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, that
they knew what they were up against was very, very serious. Had already killed one and just waiting to get rid of Peter.
Yeah.
But why do you think that they thought that they really had to pray for Peter?
They knew that this king was serious, and he had the Sanhedrin Council, and the Pharisees and Sadducees was on his side, the people. They were facing great opposition. This is a whole nation against them, except for the people that love God.
And Peter also didn't show strong when he had his three things that he denied Christ, so they figured he needed help too.
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, they heard when Jesus said, upon this rock.
Yeah. I will build my church.
You, right. You had the answer. You had a key.
Yeah.
And we couldn't let that key get killed.
Yeah.
He knew he had a key.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about the rock of Peter, but he was talking about the revelation that he had gotten.
Yeah. All of that. They earnestly prayed. This had to be stopped. in our lives, certain things just got to be stopped. You don't know how to do it. You don't know how in the world it's going to happen. But it's got to be stopped, or it's got to go. Something has to happen. You know, some things in life has to manifest. And you
so
have
you
to,
said the church got to rise up and stop it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
We have the power.
Oh, okay.
And that's the only way it's going to happen. Everything is that way. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Mm-hmm. What you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And
that's good.
It's always that way. And the Lord give us prophecy to encourage us. He shows us what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, and we can stop it. We can start something. Whatever, we are so powerful as a people that what we say go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it only takes one. It only takes one.
Yeah.
But together we're just that much more powerful. When you set something in motion, the enemy tries to attack it. He has to stop it at your level. He can't stop God. All it takes for him to win is a seed of doubt. So we have to drive out our doubts. The Word of God helps us to do that. Most of the time, everybody's praying in faith. But if there's a seed of doubt, the whole process can be stopped. That's what earnest prayer will do. It'll help you drive out all forms of doubt, unbelief, anything that will hinder. And when we pray, and we're praying together, we're saying to heaven, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. That's what our earnest prayer does. If we stop, then nothing will happen if we stop in doubt. But once we are in faith about it, once we break through in faith, no doubt, it's a law. It's a spiritual law. It's got to happen. There's no way.
You know, some people said they were in doubt, but when Peter came there, I don't think they were in doubt. They just thought God was going to do it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Not just answer just like they just thought. They had to, sometimes we're praying and we want God to do something. We have our mindset of how he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. But we take the limits off. He got so many ways.
I'm so glad you brought that out.
That he can do it. You know, they had their mindset on how he was going to do it, you know. But when he walked up that night, they went, oh, no, that can't be Peter.
I have nullified so many prayers trying to figure out how God was going to do it. And one day, I just got to a point. Things always happen. You know, when I pray, things happen. I said, you know what? I don't care how you do it. That's not really my business. My business is to believe him, and he'll do his part. And I got more results after that, after I got to that point. But okay, we're about out of time.
Somebody was believing in faith. That's the reason it's good for a church. I'm gonna tell you the importance of unity and mm-hmm. stuff like that in church. Because when somebody else get a little weak or a little, you can say, "Hey, David, I know God's gonna do it." You know. And there's Ray over there encouraging, but uh-huh. David may be a little down about it. You know, because but. We are helpers to one another.
Yeah.
We're more powerful together than we are separate.
Some battles I've won, I say, nothing's lost in the kingdom. I got that from Mary. And then sometimes I broke through because of what Brother Horton would say.
Right.
I'm in the Father's house, not the hog,
That's right.
And I just, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get it, whatever it is. But next week we'll pick up at verse 6. This is a good illustration that you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind and still get your prayers answered. They had doubt in their mind, but that don't count. It's in your heart. That's what counts. You can't have doubt in your
heart. They would have gotten up and went home. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So something was operating in their heart. Something else was operating in their head.
Yeah.
Like, hey, maybe he can do it in the morning at 9 or 2, mm-hmm. but not the,
Yeah, your heart is spirit. Your head, your mind is used to this world, and but your heart is spirit. and so when we can be in league with God in our heart, but our mind has to catch up. So They got it. This is a good illustration of that. Okay, we'll go on forward to.
I'll give y'all some lessons on this, on how to open.
Yeah.
I've been mutilated. You know what? I tried my teeth about four times.
This first film here, Lift It Up. Go get you another one, Kim. Okay, but it's bend this back. Okay, listen. Bend this back. And your film will automatically come up. Unreleased his first film.
Up or down?
You got to bring it up towards you.
Okay, you bring the first one up towards you?
Yeah.
And then you put it back?
Wait, Glory. Okay. All right. I'm going to, yes, amen. Put it back.
Prayers. Start. Okay.
That's
the first film. You ain't got to hit.
Yeah.
Y'all really want to commune with him.
Say yes.
Okay, and your next.
We'll wait. I'll let you show
me. And the next one, just pull it up for you again.
That's usually the way I do it, but it didn't do it.
Yeah, I'm going to show you. It got to do it. It got to do it.
Okay.
I'm training them how to open the communion.
Please, God,
we'll watch you next time. We'll open it before we get started.
Yeah. All right. Back at 1 Corinthians 11. These communion cups can be so much fun, I tell you. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." I thank the Lord for all that we learn, all the communion. You know, everything, it helps. It works. It works together. And we work together. Everything that's said, it has blessed us in life, and the Lord is mightily moved by His Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all of your counsel and all the things you point out. Help us to go forward. Help us to leave in victory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 All right.
I